Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Honorable Reverend Dr. William M. West, and today's segment will be about who is the real Jesus. Now, first off, we're going to talk about the name Jesus in the Bible. In the New Testament, the word Jesus actually isn't in Greek, and it's actually in English. Jesus is not pronounced Jesus, it's pronounced Jesus. Now, in the Greek, what you have there in the New Testament is Iosais, which is a combination of Jah and Zeus. Now, simply, the Hebrew simply called God Jah, which was a short for Jehovah. The interchangeable E and A is by the use of the name Jehovah for the name Jah, Jesus, and Jah Zeus. But the Hebrew language doesn't have the Jah sound. It's really Yah, Y-A, short for Yahweh. But these languages were combined by the two words in 1565. Zeus together making Jah Zeus. Then the Romans added Zeus, the god of the sky, son of Kronos, the god of cultivation, and Rhea, goddess of the earth. But the combination that brought about the Roman Catholic Church, the first church, which was a Latin version of Jesus, H-E-S-U-S, which is close to Horus, which is the Egyptian deity of the sky. So let's go to Psalms 68, verse 4, and it states, "Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him." So the name Jah is mentioned there. Now we go back to the introduction of the mythology of Egyptian culture. We're still with the Isis culture of Sepapius culture, which is the god Osiris, and Horus, the son of the sky. Now, Isis in Egyptian mythology is the goddess of fertility and motherhood, but Osiris is considered the judge of the dead, the underworld. Now, on the island of Philae, an island where a great temple was built, I say during the 30th dynasty, ancient stories was described Isis having great magical skill and was represented in a human form, wearing the horns of a cow and the resemblance of Hathor, the goddess of love and agility. But the Isis culture spread from Alexandria throughout the Hellenic world after the 4th century BCE, which is before the Christian era. The Greek historian Herodotus identified Isis with the god Demeter, the Greek goddess of earth, agriculture, and fertility. But the Iris and Serapis, or Osiris culture, later introduced around 86 BCE into Rome and the consulship of Lucius Cornelius Sulla, and became one of the most popular branches in Rome. Now, temples were built throughout Greece and Rome, but the priests had conflict with the Egyptian culture. The culture died out in Rome after the institution of Christianity, and the last Egyptian temples to Isis were closed in the mid-6th century AD. But the worship of Isis became an independent culture near the close of the Middle Kingdom, which was concluded in 1580 BCE. The statues of Isis suckling her infant son were familiar to all, and this characteristic pose with Isis sitting on the throne, suckling the baby, feeding the baby, Horus, with the symbol of a throne on her head with the sun. Now, Isis became venerated as the Madonna of pre-Christian world. For centuries, Catholics mistook these images for Mary, Jesus. Sometimes Osiris was depicted with his wife and child, and three became the type of the Holy Family. This was before the Christian era, so it existed before the story of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph came into existence. The depiction of the seated woman holding or suckling the child, Horus, is identical to Mary and Jesus. But the Isis culture appeared in Syria around 7th century BCE, and the Holocenic period began in 333 BCE, and it spread very rapidly. They actually took the gods of ancient Egypt and transferred the power and the names into Greek mythology. During the Ptolemy Soter 325 to 285 BCE, Isis became a popularity in Greece, and every city in Greece had a temple built. But her cult was introduced into Italy in the 2nd century BC, which was more successful in the West by 58 BCE. The 53 chapels in Rome and 43 triverts ordered the erection of a temple to Isis and Serapis. So they both was worshipped. The Egyptian culture was worked all the way up until the Constantine era, where the ruler Constantine of Rome established the Nicene Council. So let's go to... Okay, the first council of Nicaea was actually established in 325 AD. And this emperor of Rome, Constantine, was establishing this council in order to distribute the scrolls and the culture and reform it. They had a problem with the widespread of Egyptian culture. Now, the church had rewrote the New Testament and changed it to the new story that we have today. They actually merged the Egyptian religions with Greek mythology. And when Christianity first came to Rome, the struggle between the sun worship had to taken over from the old Roman ways. Christianity actually didn't start in the Middle Eastern area. actually started in Egypt, because the word Christ comes from caressed, and it talks about how a person is by a priest of Amun, is anointed with alligator fat, which is changed into oil, which is poured over the head. And the messiahship through royal bloodline, which gives you Christ Messiah, or Christ Messa. Now, Constantine, knowing where the actual information from it, the Library of Alexandria came from, Egypt, he didn't want to separate the information or get rid of all the Egyptian information, so he merged the two. And the fusion of Christianity and sun worship was not too difficult to bring together, because the pagans used to refer to their sun deity as Helios in the Greek, as Lord Kyrios of the heaven and the planet Earth, which is also the same name that Yahshua 2,000 years ago is also known by. So, let's go to Revelations, first chapter 12-16, which states, and there, hold on. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. Revelation chapter 1, 12, verse 16. And I could see the voice that spake to me, and beheld, turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burnt in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And now, this relates to, actually, Revelation 12 chapter, verse 1. And there was seen a big sign in Orion's skies, or heavens, a confident wife of having been thrown about with the Apsu, or sun, and the moon underneath her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, this actual this description of this woman is actually a symbol of the ancient Egyptian goddess Isis. It's depicted as the six-pointed star back in ancient Egypt, with the 12 stars of the tribe of Israel, or the 12 gnomes of ancient Egypt. Now we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few.
Science can answer everything except for the why. It's the debate still goes on day after day. No one has the answer here.
There's earth, air, water, and fire. that God's real. All of this is not by chance.
Hi, this is the Honorable Reverend Dr. William N. West. The segment today is Who is the Real Jesus? If you want to call in, you could dial 1-917-889-2382. Also, I just published a book called The Mysteries of Earth Changes Revealed. You can get this online, Amazon.com, or any major bookstore. It's dealing with the past and present and future changes to our planet and how the changes will affect everybody on the planet. So pick it up. It's a good book. Now let's get back to the segment. Let's go to Hosea chapter 13, verse 4. Okay. And it states, Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Now, it's been taught from many years that the Savior comes out of Judea, the Nazarite. But it states right here in Hosea that the Lord God comes from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but him, for there is no Savior but him. So let's go to Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Shemesh is there for sun. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now, this sun here is S-U-N, not S-O-N. And the ancient symbol of the sun is Ray. And it derives from Egypt, and Egypt was the first sun worshiping civilization. And the physical sun is a personification of the Most High God. And then just say it one more time, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No God, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the that trusteth in thee. So now, just go to Revelations 3rd chapter, verse 14. Now, the Lord God is a sun, ties into the Greek Helios, the son of God, which is Hero Horus, or ancient Egypt. Okay, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and it states, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, capital A-M-E-N, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now the Amen here is not a verb, it's a noun, it's a name. And it say the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So this Amen was at the actual beginning of the creation of God in physical form. Many people say Amen. The Arabs say Amun. And Amin. But many people do not understand the actual, what the word is or what it means or what it specifies. And the Amen means the hidden one or the faithful true witness. Now, in the Quran, it states in the 85th chapter, which was originally the 27th chapter in El's Holy Quran, that the zodiac circle was a dot in the center, which is symbolic of the ancient Egyptian deity Amun Ra, for the disk or the of the sun. This sun god Amun in Aramaic Hebrew, and Amin in Asheric Syriac Arabic means faith in unseen things. That's what the Muslims, Jews, and Christians, that's what they are saying. Amen. Amen. Amun. Amin. So now, let's go to Deuteronomy 4th chapter 19th verse, and it states, unless you lift up your eyes unto the sky, and when you see in person the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the heavenly army of the sky should be to worship them and serve them, which Yahuwah Elohik have divided unto all nations of people under all the sky. So this states that you have to lift up your eyes and observe the heavens properly. Now, the Christians are saying that Eli gave the sun, the moon, and the stars to all other people for them to worship, but that is not what the quote in Deuteronomy is saying. And the Christians gather on Sunday or Sunday, professing this to be the holy day of the week, but every day is a Sunday. There is no other day but Sunday. The sun does not rise. It appears that the sun rises, but actually it's a shadow period. The earth is spinning on an axis, and when it spins away from the light of the sun, it appears in a shadow period. So the sun does not set and rise. But every day is Sunday. There is no such thing as Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday. These are Roman names of Greek deities, of Greek mythology. Now let's take a break. This is the Honorable Reverend Dr. William M. West. Today's segment is Who is the Real Jesus? If you want to call in, you can dial 1-917-889-2382. Also, I just published and written a book called The Mysteries of Earth Changes Revealed. You can pick this up at any major bookstore or Amazon.com. There is also an online version on iUniverse.com/bookstore. This book entails the past, present, and future changes to our planet and how it would affect humanity on the planet and what we have to do to make it through this transition that is about to take place up to 2012. Now, let's get back to the segment. We're going to start by a comparison between the Jesus or Jesus in the New Testament and compare it to the ancient scrolls in ancient Egypt dealing with Horu or Heru, son of the Almighty God Osiris or Hasar or Usir. Now, Matthew chapter 15, verse 34 through 37 states, Jesus did the miracle of turning 5 loaves of bread in one case and 7 in another to feed the many multitudes of people. Now, in ancient scrolls, ancient Egypt states, and this ties in with Horu, who makes 7 loaves of bread for Osiris to live by. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 states, Yeshua, or Jesus, is in the desert and being tempted by the devil, who said to him, if he was the Son of God, turn a stone into bread. And the ancient Egyptian text, it says, the stone of the desert is symbolic of Sutuk, Set. And the Torah also teaches, when Jesus was 12, he disappeared from Mary and Joseph, and was in the temples talking with the priests and Pharisees. When he reached age 30, he was anointed in the Jordan and began his teachings. Now, people who's not familiar with the scriptures, Jesus was 12 in the temple talking to the Pharisees about the Judaic doctrine and how he did not agree with the teachings because he was raised in Egypt from newborn to 12 years old. Now, in the text in ancient Egypt states, as the child Horu, Horus, comes to the earth, he enters matter or becomes flesh. He is born as the word of his father, who becomes Set, whose consort is Nu, whose other name is Meri, M-E-R-I, which is the same as Jesus coming down to earth as the word of God, or the Logos word, and the flesh, having an adopted father of Joseph, which is said, and Mary, his mother. Now we go to this Torah, and it states, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And the Egyptian text state, Horu, Horus, is the Father, seen in the Son. Now let's go back to the Torah, and it states, Jesus claims to be the Son in whom the Father is revealed. The personification, or the human personification of the Father in flesh. And the Egyptian text state, and Horus, or Horu, was the light of the world, the light that is represented by the symbolic eye, or Uchet, the sun of salvation.
Now the Torah states, Jesus is made to declare that he is the light of the world. And the Egyptian text says, Horus, or Horus, was the way. His name is the sign of the two roads, the truth and the life. The Torah states, Jesus says, I am come down from heaven, for this is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholdeth the Son and believeth in him should have eternal life. An Egyptian text states, Haru, Horus, said, it is I who traverse the heaven. I go road to Sekhet, Aru, the Elysian fields, eternity, has been assigned to me without end. Lo, I am heir of endless time, and my attribute is eternity, and I will raise him up at the last day. He too claims to be the Lord of eternity. And the Torah states, Yeshua or Jesus is called the Good Shepherd with the lamb or kid on his shoulder. And the Egyptian text states, Horu, Horus, was the good shepherd who carries the crook upon his shoulder. And the crook is a wand with a curvature at the top. And the Torah states, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And the Egyptian text states, Horu, Horus, is called the Lamb of God. Or the Ray. And the Torah states, Jesus is the bread of life. And the Egyptian text states, Haru, Horus, is also the bread of life. The Torah states, Jesus is the truth and the light. Egyptian text say, Horus, or Horu, is also the truth and the light. The Torah states, Jesus is the way and the door to eternal life. And the Egyptian text states, Haru, Horus, was the door or entrance into a mitzvah, which none could open. And the Torah states, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And the Egyptian text states, Haru, Horus, was baptized by Anuip, the baptizer. And the Torah states, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. An Egyptian text states, Haru, Horus, was born in Anu, the place of bread. Now, Anu is the highest city where the highest triad lived. And it's called Anu, and in Greek is Heliopolis, the city of the sun. And the Torah states, Jesus the Christ, and Egyptian text states, Haru, Horus, the Christ, K-R-I-K-R-S-T. The Torah states, the star and the east that indicated the birthplace of Jesus. And the Egyptian text states, the star, as announcer of the child of Haru, Horus, the proclamation of the birth of the Holy Child in Egypt. So, you can see where it matches up, but in actuality, the story of the ancient Egyptian Holy Son, Haru or Horus, or Heru, is 10,500 BC, which is before the Christian era, before Christ, which states 2,000 years ago. The story predates the Jesus Christ story. So you can see where it was borrowed from the ancient mythologies. Well, it's not a myth anymore, because in 2000, the tomb of Osiris in ancient Egypt was found, and the body was found. So this becomes a reality and not a myth any longer. So, also you have the combinations of the names Jesus and Helios, which is used in the throughout the New Testament, which dates back to the Greek word Helios, the sun god of ancient Egypt. Now, Horus wore the symbol of the hawk or falcon, which his name, Har, which is the meaning, the high mountain or up on high. Anybody can do research on the holy sun, Horus, and get the information that surrounds the actual conspiracy to hide the actual truth dealing with the true Jesus. Now, if you take a dollar bill and look at the back, you'll notice the great seal of the United States of America. And it has a pyramid with an eye, which is the Ujet of ancient Egypt, and you have the light behind the eye. This eye on top of the pyramid is the eye of Heru, Horus, and this is the way that the Masons, which created this symbol, or Great Seal, wanted to acknowledge that they built this holy city they considered entrusted by God, for they will have still worshipped the sun god behind the scenes in the secret societies. Now, behind the eye of Horus is the eye of his father, Osiris, Usir, or Sar, which is the light, the sun ray, the personification of the word in flesh at the pier or the climax of the mirror or the pyramid. So, let's take a break here, and we'll be back.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your word to worship. Let me hear your word to worship. Come on, y'all, talk to him.
Come.
Aristocratic. Listen, the goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak.
Mindful
of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you.
Yeah.
Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the king in me, the ruler in me came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a king in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail, the lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no king in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. Is there no king living in you? Inner king, and I came to help you find your inner king. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a king. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem, but I came to tell you that there is a king in you. I know that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a king in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a king in you. If there's a king in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the kings tonight? Where are the kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a king. Hey, let the kings rejoice. Let the kings rejoice. You are successful. The king is living in you. The word is in you. Praise them because
there is a king.
You will make it. You are forever a lender, never a borrower. You are forever above, never beneath. You are forever the head, never the tail.
A king
is in you. Let the past go. Look toward the future. The best is still yet to come for you. There is a king in you. Let the ruler rule. I know you've been through. I know you've been through. But there is a king. Embrace your king.
There is a king.
Hey, hey. I know that life has made you feel bad about yourself. I know that some of the things you've been through has made you feel bad about yourself. But you need to know that there is a ruler in you. There is a
night, trying to hide the pain. I'm going to the place where love and feeling good don't ever cost a thing. In the pain you feel a different kind of pain. Been the best man, a friend for you, but you love it, man.